I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, we've got a special show planned for you today. I have a very special guest. You ready? It's you. I want to walk with you through a story from Scripture and look at two very distinct things, the way Jesus heals us and the way that He deals with us. In fact, I would love to hear from you. It just always means the world to me when you engage in these conversations. And I'm going to ask you again. I don't ever throw you softballs or any fluff balls. I want to get to the, you know, to the depths of what's really going on in our hearts. So question number one, in what way do you need healing? What part of your life do you want just God to put His hand on and touch and heal? How do you need healing? Second question, is there something God's dealing with you on these days? Is He kind of putting His finger on something? And maybe you don't want to talk about it. Maybe you want to sing a different song, but you know God is saying, that thing, I want to talk with you about that. I dare you to engage with the conversation. And I, if you want to be anonymous, just say, this is anonymous, but I would love to hear from you. Text me if you would, 877-933-2484. One is, how do you need to be healed? What do you want God to heal in your life? And in what way is He dealing with you? Also, I'm going to give away a stack of books off of our Faith Radio shelf, and it's one of those random surprise kinds of things. So you can submit a text in the word book and a separate text to 877-933-2484, and a number of you will pick your names, and you'll get some random book in the mail, and it might be fun. It might be just exactly what you need. All right, before I dig into Scripture, I want to just make a quick announcement that I'm super excited about. We have just launched the Great Giveaway, and what that is mobilizing as many of you as we can between now and December 18th, which December 18th happens to be my birthday. So this is what I want for my birthday. I want thousands and thousands of people to be mobilized doing random acts of kindness. And if possible, to get out of your comfort zone a little bit. And if you want to tell us, hey, I'm in, count me in, hop on our website at myfaithradio.com. Right on the homepage there, you sign up. And the reason why I want you to sign up is we're going to send you a cool little card. That it's a note card that you can send with whatever gift you give away. Just saying, hey, you're seen. We love you. We care about you. And I'm part of a bigger movement of random acts of kindness. Pray that you'll join us. Again, information at myfaithradio.com. And this dear listener says, oh, wow, she needs healing of stage 4 lung cancer, never a smoker. Well, I have to pray before we dig into this message today. Father, I pray for our dear listener. I pray for a miraculous and total and complete healing of her lungs, of her body. I pray every system in her body would support life and health. Lord, she's never smoked. And this is a terrible, terrible diagnosis. So I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would, by the power of your mighty work, heal her from the inside out. Surprise the doctors. I pray for a medical miracle in Jesus' name. Thank you for texting in and let me know about that. Wow. All right. Well, this story is set in John chapter 4, and maybe you're familiar with it. It's the Samaritan woman. And I want to look at the story from two angles, the enemy's desire for us and God's desire for us. Now, just to set the story up, here's a word about the well. Most people drew water in the morning and the evening, and that's just because the heat was just better that during that time. The particular woman in the story, the Samaritan woman, drew water at the midday. And most scholars agree that she did this, even though it was the heat of the day, inconvenient, but she did it to avoid the gossip of the townspeople. You know, it was self-protection. And before we judge her too harshly, how often do we do the same thing where we make lots of rules around our insecurities and we manage things in such a way that we don't have to be uncomfortable, that Jesus wants us free? That's just important to know. Now, the woman herself, she had three strikes against her. She was a woman, which was considered an inferior gender back in those times. She was a Samaritan, which was considered an inferior, quote unquote, mixed race back then. So the pure Jews, quote unquote, would travel around Samaria before they would ever lower themselves to go through Samaria. That's how they saw themselves. That's how they saw Samaritans. And so she was a woman. She was a Samaritan. And she was known to be living in sin. So here's just what's true is no respectable Jewish man would ever find himself ever, ever in public talking to a person under one of those circumstances. Maybe they would meet her in the dark of night because they wanted what they wanted. But no respectable Jewish man would ever meet her, talk with her, honor her, look her in the eye in broad daylight. And this is what I love about Jesus, is he will cross every barrier to get to us. Can I get an amen? No matter what your family tree says, no matter what your history says, no matter where you've been, what you've done, no matter what even the world is saying about who's in and who's out and who's right and who's wrong, Jesus will cross every barrier to get to you and to get to me. So that's what I want to talk about today, is the healings and the dealings of God, because here's just what's true. We have trouble in this life. Life wounds us. So we need healing. And we are a work in progress. I often say we are a pile of contradictions, because you know what? Sometimes we're grateful. Sometimes we're grumpy. Sometimes we're hopeful. Sometimes we're cynical. Sometimes we're loving. Sometimes we're just selfish. We just haven't arrived yet. And that's why we need to be open to the dealings of God. So to really grow into Christ-likeness, to transform and mature in this faith walk, we need to be hopeful enough to believe him for healing and humble enough to allow some of his dealings. So how do we get there? I want to follow this dear Samaritan woman. So in John 4:7, it says, "Soon the Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Please give me a drink.'" So Jesus was tired. He was sitting by the well. His disciples had gone to buy food, and in comes the Samaritan woman. And Jesus says, "Please give me a drink." Now I want you to think about this. I want you to imagine who she was and who he is. Imagine them coming face to face. Dishonor, deceit, immorality meets dignity, honor, strength, and love. Can you imagine? Right away, she's meeting a Jewish man in broad daylight. But right away, she knows he doesn't want what other men have wanted from her. I want you to imagine her cheeks flushing and her heart beating a little faster. Well, the enemy of your soul, this is what he does. He seduces and then he accuses. He reminds you of your past labels and your past mistakes over and over again. Not Jesus. He comes towards you. He honors you. He asks for that thing in your hand that will only temporarily satisfy you. Dr. Kurt Thompson is someone I've had on the show a few times before, and he said, you know, one of the reasons the Bible tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus is so that we can see that his eyes are fixed on us. Think about that. So in verse 9, the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. So she said, "But you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman." You know, how often when looking at the potential of what God might want to do through us, we fill in the blank, "But you and but I." You know, "I'm not smart. I'm not capable. I'm not educated. I'm poor. I have a track record. I'm weak in health." This is the thing. The enemy wants you stuck in your past labels, and Jesus wants to set you free from them. In verse 10, I love this. Jesus says to her, "If only you knew the gift God has for you and who I am, you would ask me and I would give you living water." See, this is absolutely key, because if the enemy can keep you from understanding who God is and what he has for you, because knowing those two things will affect every choice you make. But if he can keep you from understanding that, you will numb out on your pain and you will experience the law of diminishing returns, because basically you'll need more and more so that you can feel less and less. But when you marinate in the presence of God and you understand that Jesus comes towards you without condemnation, but always with an invitation, you can start to trust him to heal you. And the enemy will work tirelessly to take God off the throne in your life, because then you'll be constantly tempted to numb that pain. And we all do it. And when we do it, it's like we're drinking muddy water. Well, Jesus says, "You must get this. You must know what I have for you and who I am. Because when you function from this place, everything changes." And here's another point. He's talking to her about her spiritual thirst. She still thinks it's a physical thirst. But whenever God speaks to us, he's always speaking from an eternal perspective. So when he's talking to her really about her thirst, his words to her were never meant for surface level, just as they aren't for us. And I mean that when you sense God is speaking, let's say you hear a song or you hear a word on the radio or you read a book and or scripture and a line jumps off the page, you know, that truth goes deep and wide, and God wants to do something deep in you. So sit with that for a while and listen. So when Jesus says, "If only you knew the gift God has for you, if only you knew who I am, you would ask me." He's not merely speaking of bottled water or slightly better than well water. He's saying, basically, "I'm going to go to your deepest, vilest thoughts and secrets and hurts. I want to go there, and I want to heal them." And he makes the same promise to us. He wants to go to our deepest places, those painful places we don't even want to talk about. And he wants to bring healing and freedom and redemption. Well, in verse 11, the Samaritan woman has this earthbound perspective. And Jesus always, of course, has an eternal perspective. She says, "Sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, and this is a very deep well. Where are you going to get this living water?" And here's also what's true, is that enemy of your soul will constantly try to get you to live by your emotions and by what your eyes see. But what we see is so temporary. What we see is so skewed. What we see is in a glass dimly. And this is why the more we can look up above our circumstances and seek God in those circumstances, well, we start to discern something on a spiritual level that we can't see on a physical level. So I'm going to pause here. When I come back, I'm going to unpack that a little bit more, and then we're going to hear a song. But I want to just hear from you. Can I hear from you? What's the thing that you really want God to heal in you? And is there something that he's dealing with in you? Text me if you would, 877-933-2484. And if you want in on a random book drawing, we've got some great books on our Faith Radio shelf. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much. You're tuning into Suzy Larson Live. You're my special guest today, and we're walking through the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well in John 4, looking specifically at the ways God heals us and the way that he deals with us. And I want to ask you to engage in the conversation, if you would, asking you to be vulnerable. I'm pretty vulnerable most days. So if you don't mind texting me, let me know, is there an area that you want God to heal in your life? And is there an area in which God is dealing with you? And maybe it's never fun. You know, discipline is never fun, but he disciplines those he loves. Scripture says, don't make light of it and don't shrug it off, because he's a good father and he disciplines those he loves. So there's times he puts his finger on something saying, that anger, I want to do something with that. That fear, I want to take that from you. So how about it? What is he dealing with in you? And what do you need him to heal you? Text me 877-933-2484. This dear listener said, "Susie, I'm still struggling, maybe refusing, with coming to God like a little child. I feel like I hit a mental roadblock with my faith when I try to enter the presence of God. I question every thought I have, wondering if I truly know God and if I can ever really know him and if he's chosen me. I want his affirmation, but I need to be willing to receive it in a way that he's already revealed to me. He's dealing with me that I have to put my faithful faith on him as my rock and my security. It's so hard to know what that looks like or what I need to do to make sure that my house is built on solid rock. I'm struggling with understanding the practicalities of that." And my dear listener, I get the sense you are overthinking it a lot, because children don't overthink it. And I want to invite you into that it's by grace you are saved through faith. I know we've texted about this before, but as you overthink maybe how you feel and all the logistics of it, I mean, Jesus knew how complicated the Pharisees had made it. So love came down to rescue us. And as you just take the next step and the next step and the next step in trusting him, saying, "I'm a sinner. I know I need a savior. I believe you lived and died and you blew the doors off of sin's claim on me and you rose again. You are my king and I will follow you." And that's what you do. It's hard some days. There are lots of times where you don't feel his presence. It feels like a daily grind, but he's good and he's looking for faith in our hearts just to trust him. So I would say just start trusting him, walk with him, and ask him, make yourself real to me. Help your love become believable to me. In fact, this might be a good time to play one of the songs that I want to play called Tear Down the Walls. Come and Tear Down the Walls. And the album is Revere, David and Nicole Binion. It is so powerful. And I ask you, one who just texted in, my anonymous friend, open your hands and just enter into this song. I think it'll minister to you. And when we come back, I'll pick the story up where we left off.
Deserve every piece of my heart, every piece of my heart. every piece of my heart. Lord, I am trusting that you are a faithful Father, and all that you have, it is good. You're a generous giver, your love's like no other. Would you come and break through to me over and over and over again? I am bringing my heart to you with open hands. Closer and closer, you're drawing me in, as the depths of my heart lay before you again. Say, depths of my heart lay before you again. Lord, I am trusting that you are a faithful Father, and all that you have, it is good. You're a generous giver, your love's like no other. Won't you come and break
We've all erected walls and put conditions on our walk with God. And Jesus so much is saying, can I have that part of you? Can you trust me with that part of your story? So we're looking at the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. In this point where Jesus says to her, if only you knew who God is, if only you knew the gift I have for you, you would ask me. And she's looking at him going, you don't have a bucket, you don't have a rope. Where in the world are you going to get this water? And over again, Jesus, as he walked the earth, even with his disciples, he tried to get them to look up and see into the spiritual realm. And over again, we default to the natural realm because that's kind of what we do. Well, the devil wants you to live by what your eyes see. And God wants the eyes of your heart to open up. And the thing is, if you just live by what your eyes see, your own words will bear witness against the promises of God. You'll say things like, I don't see how this will ever work out. I don't see how God could ever work this out. I don't see how our nation could ever come into a place of revival and unity. And you hear that? Your words start to bear witness against the possibilities of what God might do. That's why Jesus is saying, if you just knew, if you knew who God was, he's the one who put the galaxies in place with the breath of his mouth. Nothing is too difficult for him, and he loves us. He wants the eyes of our heart to open up. So the woman at the well has almost a comical response and says, okay, sir, please give me some of that water. I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here and haul water. In other words, in so many ways, I don't think I'm reading this for her, looks like she's saying, you know how inconvenient it is to come here in the middays and the heat? If you could just bring that water to my little place where I live, finally, I won't have to do this anymore. She's like, I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to haul water. Well, she was looking for a break, but Jesus wanted to bring her a breakthrough. You know, the Bible says, I cried out to the Lord in my distress, but he answered me by setting me free. He's not interested in making us comfortable in our captivity. He wants us to be free, and he wants us to want it as much as he does. Psalm 51:6 says, you desire truth in my inmost being, and in those hidden places you'll make me know wisdom. Well, he wants truth in the inmost being because that's where lies go to hide. And when lies are embedded in our soul, we live out of those lies and we make self-destructive choices. So if he can get truth in that inmost being where we once were broken, you will make me know wisdom. Suddenly you have credibility. You have authority. You've got wisdom because you've recovered and come back from something that others may never come back from because they're not looking to Jesus, not trusting him. You desire truth in thy inmost being, and in those hidden places you will make me know wisdom. In my broken places I will become a spring, a life spring for others. Well, in verses 16 to 18, Jesus confronts her sin. Because finally she's asking, yes, I'll take some of that water, even though she doesn't really know what she's asking for and doesn't even know the gift that's being offered to her. She's like, okay, I'll have what you're having. And so then Jesus steps in a little bit more in verses 16 to 18 and says, go get your husband. And she sidesteps, I don't have a husband. Listen now, the thing that stands in the way of our truly being free, of being completely transformed by the power of the risen Christ within us, this is a hard one, but hang with me. It's the denial and the justification of our bad attitudes and our behaviors, making excuses for the things that we know aren't right, for our attitudes and behaviors. Jesus will deal with what's happened to us. He will. But first, he wants to get at what it's done in us. He will deal with what's happened to us, but first, he wants to deal and heal what it's done in us. This is a fallen world, and we make our own bad choices. And you know what? We come to Christ for the first time by humbly admitting our need. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. But I would say that we grow in much the same way. Every time we come to a new place of growth, we come to a new place of humility. Maybe you've heard me say this before, but I often told my boys when they were growing up, the Christian life is like a winding country road with a deep ditch on each side. One ditch is your outright rebellion. The other ditch is your response to someone else's rebellion. The devil could care less which ditch he gets you in. He just wants you off the road. So maybe your bent is perpetual indulgence in something. Maybe that's not your bent. Maybe your bent is judging others who can't get their act together. Well, you're just in the other ditch. Well, the woman at the well, she responds to Jesus' confrontation with a religious question. And some scholars believe that she did this to take the focus off of her and put it on religion. And again, you know, this is just our default tendency in boxing. I think it's called a rope-a-dope. We're trying to create a diversion over here because I don't want this to happen right here. But the thing is, when the Lord puts his finger on something in our lives and we go and try to perform and go, I don't want to talk about that, but I'll join another committee or I'll go perform over here and do this great thing or I'll give up my dinners every night for the next week. You know what? He wants obedience. He wants so much our hearts. And so instead of sidestepping and creating a new conversation with God, if we could sit in it when he addresses that thing in your life, it's never to condemn you. It's always to deliver you, always to set you free. And the only way that we gain ground in this walk of faith is forward-moving faith. It's the transformation of Christ within us. It's the healings and the dealings of God. Old pastor and author Francis Frangipane once said, we cannot grow beyond our ability to receive correction. So one of the signs of maturity is humility. Another sign of maturity is teachability. The thing is, we don't know what we don't know, and there's so much we don't see. But if we will be humble and teachable enough to say, teach me, Lord, search me, O God, know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts, point out anything in me that offends you and lead me in the everlasting way. He will do it in the most loving, inviting way that you can imagine. We'll pick up the story in just a moment. I'd love to hear from you. Give me a text, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. That song. Sometimes you got to rise up and just say, not today, Satan, and not tomorrow either. Hey, thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We're doing something a little different today. It's just you and me, baby. We're no guest today. You're my special guest. So I do have a guest. It's you. We're walking through a story in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, and exploring the healings and the dealings of God. He's gentle. He's loving. He never beats down, never condemns. He calls up. He invites us into his throne room so he can heal us. But you know what? He does speak to us about things. He brings correction and direction, and all of that is protection, if I could just say that. I would love for you to text and tell me how you need healing, and also how is God dealing? What's he talking to you about these days? That's a harder one, isn't it? Hard to talk about. And how he's dealing with me? Fear, and I'm doing really good. I'm telling you, I'm contending. It's under my feet right now. It is like whack-a-mole sometimes, but also just the deep, deep conviction to keep my eyes on Jesus. This is, people are angry. No matter what you do, they get mad, it seems. And I'm not going to fear man. I'm going to fear God. I'm going to do what he says, say what he says, and let the chips fall. But wow, I've never been in such a time of such amped up opinions and anger when the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. So that's one of the things God's dealing with, just breaking me free more and more from the opinions of man that I could serve an audience of one. So how about you? How's God dealing? This dear listener said, I need emotional healing for a long history of mental and emotional trauma from childhood and the person I married. So here, not only she has this in childhood, but then in currently in marriage, for painful attitudes her children demonstrate towards her. In the past few days, she's been brought so low. The enemy's throwing every possible weapon at her through flashbacks and harsh interactions. I don't even know what to ask. Oh, Father God, you are the defender. You are the great defender. And I pray you would be her defender and her deliverer, that you would bring deep healing to her soul in those inmost places where lies, the lies she's picked up when life let her down. Put truth there, God. Show her what's absolutely true about who she is and who you are, that she could see the gift that God has for her and who God is, and living water would start to flow through her in Jesus' name. Amen. Another dear listener, just dealing with all kinds of anxiety and fear after COVID, and I just want to pray deep healing for you. Lord, bring healing emotionally, physically, and every other way. So at this point of the story, when the Samaritan woman steps in a little closer and says, hey, I'll take some of that water, and Jesus then addresses her sin, not to condemn her, but to set her free. And she said, yeah, I don't have a husband. And he's basically, you're right. The man you're living with now is not your husband, and you've had five husbands. He did this not to embarrass her, but she was continually numbing her pain, continually running to the wrong source and drinking muddy water. And you need to know, when Jesus addresses things in our lives, his voice is so inviting and gentle and sweet. He says things like, that fear, I want that. That insecurity, how about you let me take that? That anger, I can redeem that. Your tendency to strive and strain and prove yourself to everybody else, I want to set you free. And I want to give you rest. That's why scripture says, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. It's always about deliverance. Well, here the woman at the well, at this moment now, is connecting eyes with the man who didn't want what other men wanted from her. But you know what he did want? Is absolute honesty about her predicament and her need. Now, I want you to imagine what this must have been like. I mean, she's having a pretty intimate conversation in broad daylight with a Jewish man. She's a Samaritan woman known to be living in sin. Everybody else shunned her. She lived in isolation and lived in her sin. And Jesus said, if only you knew the gift God had for you, who I am, you would ask me. And so she asks for something. She thinks she knows what she's asking for. And he says, but what about that sin? Let's talk about that. She sidesteps. I don't have sin. And he's bringing it back. He's a master. So here she's connecting eyes. I'm trying to imagine her heart beating faster, her cheeks flush, what that must have been like. And Jesus says to her, God is spirit. And his spirit, his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. She's trying to get into the theological debate about where to properly worship. Jesus brings it back around and says, God is spirit and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth, led by the power of the Holy Spirit, in accuracy before God, the truth as it relates to what God says truth is. And how often again, when we are worshiping, we allow a disconnect, you know, between what we say and how we live, or what we say and how we believe. Again, not to condemn here, but to narrow, to bring that disconnect back together so that there's a deep connection to what your heart believes and what your mouth says. I want you to imagine this. One by one, the woman's banners fell off of her. The woman, that she's an inferior gender. I mean, she, of course, stayed a woman, but the idea that she was inferior somehow just because she was a woman, that banner fell off. Samaritan, that banner fell off. Immoral, that banner fell off. And in that moment, she's known as just someone God loves. And she knows it. She knows she's meeting someone like she's never met before. He's looking in her eyes, sincerely wants what's best for her. And for a moment, she's being known. And then in the distance, she hears the shuffling of sandals in the dirt. And she looks up. And here comes a group of men, and they happen to be Christ's disciples. And it says they were shocked and astonished to find Jesus talking to this woman in broad daylight. Now, I want you to imagine, in one moment, she's safe, She's secure. She's very curious. Could this be for me? And then she's reminded who she is by the look on their faces. They're elbowing each other. Their jaws are dropped. They're like, oh, and they can't believe it. And instantly those banners go back on. One, two, three. I want you just to imagine that. You know what that scene did for me? It helped me. These were Christ's closest followers, and they still regarded her from a worldly point of view. After spending all this time with Jesus, they still regarded her from a worldly point of view. What I want to pull out of that part of the story is this. As long as you walk this earth, there will be people, Christians even, who knew you when, who have a snapshot of you from back when, in their back pocket. It's an outdated picture of you. Jesus always has an updated picture of you. And they only know in part. Jesus knows fully. And when he sees you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. But there will be people who are Christians who walk this earth who have an outdated picture of you. And they've got you summed up. They've got you judged. And they think they know what they know. And they don't know anything. Because his mercies are new every morning. And he redeems your story continually so. Isn't that just amazing? I think I've told this story on this show before. I've shared it in other places. But true story of a father and a son in the upper Midwest. The father's taking the little boy fishing, and the little boy has to go to the bathroom, and the woods would not suffice. He wanted to, sit on a porcelain throne, if I could say that. And the only place this dad could stop, and that boy insisted that he needed a bathroom, was this dive of a bar. It was a dingy, yucky place, and his Christian dad walks his little boy into this smoky, dingy place. He gets into the bathroom, and there's no doors on the stalls. All the doors are off. And there's all kinds of junk written on the walls that are not appropriate for anybody, not to mention his sweet little Christian boy. So this dad kneels down on the floor in the doorway of this wretched, dirty bathroom stall, and his little boy sitting on the toilet. And he cups the boy's face in his hands, and he pulls his face close to himself, and he says, "Honey, just keep looking at me. You just keep looking at me." I think that is such a picture of what Jesus is saying. You know what? People can build a case against anybody. They built a case against me. So there might be stuff written on the bathroom wall about you that's true. There might be some that's got a kernel of truth. And there might be some that's just bold-faced lie. It doesn't matter. If you keep your face in Jesus' hands and you hear him look at you with tenderness in his eyes, going, it really doesn't matter what anybody says about you. It doesn't matter. Because one day, as John Eldridge says, one day your story will be told correctly. He will vindicate you before a watching world. So you don't have to spend your life or your energy now trying to manage people's opinions of you. It does not matter what they think. They see in part, they know in part, and they don't know what they don't know. No one's had to walk in your shoes except for you, and Jesus knows. Can somebody give me an amen? Isn't that just amazing when you think that he loves you so much that nobody can gossip enough to him to make him change his mind about you? Love that so much. Well, in verse 28, the woman left her water jar and ran back to face the people that she worked so hard to avoid. Now, I want to play the second part of this song, "Come Tear Down the Walls I Built," and I want you to be honest with yourself and before God and dare to pray that prayer. Lord, if I've made rules around the way I walk with you, if I manage hard other people's opinions, will you show me? Because I want to be free. I want to be free. God wants you free. He loves you so much. Jesus paid a high price for your freedom. He wants to heal you. And in even his dealings with you, he calls you up. He doesn't beat you down. He invites you. He doesn't condemn you. And anytime he issues an invitation, he also issues the supernatural power to walk it out. So don't be afraid of the dealings. There's stuff in me. I have so many limits, but I boast of them now because I just know that, you know what, I carry this treasure in this earthen vessel so that I know and others do too, that the power's of God, not of me or anyone else. Let's listen, and I pray you can pray along with this portion of the song.
This is a song of surrender. This is the place where we lay it all down. I'll never give my heart to another. 'Cause your love is the greatest thing I've ever found. Hey!
Over and over and over.
I surrender, I surrender.
I'm bringing my heart to you.
I surrender, I surrender.
Closer and closer to John.
I surrender, I surrender.
Thank you, Lord. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we'll finish this story because it ends so amazingly well, talking about the Samaritan woman, about the healings and the dealings of God. And I know a few of you, I still need to pray for you. How is God healing? How do you need him to heal you? Would you text me? And how is he dealing with you? Text me that as well. I know that's a little bit deeper of a question. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. I hope it's been a good day for you. We've got a kind of a unique show today. Instead of having a regular guest, an author, pastor, leader, you are my very special guest. And we're digging into God's Word today, looking at the Samaritan woman from John chapter 4. Really for two reasons, to look at God's healings and his dealings and the way that he ministers to our hearts and invites us on the healing journey, but also the way he deals with us. And it's not ever in condemnation, but he does bring correction and direction because he knows what sin will do to us. And so I've asked you to be honest, and so many of you have. I appreciate that so much. Always love deeper engagement here. And I've asked you to text in, what do you need God to heal? And how is God dealing? And I would love to know what he's saying to you. Text 877-933-2484. And this dear one says, I'd like to request prayer for Gina, who's 6 months pregnant, tested positive for COVID. Pray for her and her three-year-old and her husband. We will definitely do that. And then let's just do that now. Lord, thank you for Gina. We just pray healing and protection on that little baby, protection on that little one, and blessing on Gina that she would recover quickly. And we pray for that precious family in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And this one says, I've lied and hidden my stronghold, which resulted in betrayal. If God doesn't answer liars' prayers, how can I find healing for myself and the one I betrayed? Well, the thing is, he wants to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. And any liar is only a prayer away from becoming a truth teller. The enemy would love for you to stay in the shadows and keep you condemned. But if you remember the woman at the well, how she did everything she could do to avoid the townspeople because she was so condemned, she condemned herself. But Jesus crossed the barriers to get to her. And he just asked her to be honest about her predicament and her need. And from there, he brought healing. So that's what I want you to do. You said you've lied and you've hidden your stronghold and it resulted in betrayal. Well, you know what? You can be a truth teller today. So I just ask you to be honest with God. And just like that, he comes in, he forgives your sin, and he will help you walk out the ramifications of these choices. And he works all things together somehow, some way. And may he do that in ways that absolutely take your breath away. So the woman at the well, I told you before, she was having this face-off with Jesus, and suddenly she's connecting with a man that she knew was no ordinary man. And she wasn't the Samaritan woman, the sinner, the inferior gender woman. She was someone God saw as valuable. And then the disciples come in from out of town, and they're shocked to see Jesus talking to her. And it snaps her back into who that she once was, so to speak. They had her summed up. They had her judged. But you know what? Then she looked back at Jesus, and she remembered who she was. And I'm just sort of looking at what must have happened in that story, because you know what happened next? Is she went back to face the people that she had worked so hard to avoid. Now, I want you to imagine, let's say whatever people, your biggest critics in your world and in your life, people who do not give you the benefit of the doubt, they think they know you, they've got you summed up, they judge you and criticize you. Imagine going to those people with wide-eyed wonder, because lots of times when you have those people in your life that they just look down their nose, you kind of maybe cower a little bit or self-protect, but they lost their power. They knew they had power over her because she worked so hard to avoid them. They knew they had power, self-righteous power. Well, she runs back to those people with wide-eyed wonder and said, come meet a man who told me everything I ever did. Now, you know it. Like, let's say you've got someone under your thumb that you kind of judge, and suddenly they get free, and you don't have them under your thumb anymore, and you know it because they're free. I want you to imagine how much that must have wrecked them, because, in other words, she's kind of saying, I mean, also this, the things you've been judging me about behind my back, you know, all that stuff you've been talking about, well, some of it's kind of true. But anyway, you got to come see someone who told me to my face. We just have to pause and consider the audacity and the freedom and the power. Like, her sin didn't hold power over her anymore, and man's opinion didn't hold power anymore. And this is what I like to say, is when saving face is replaced by saving grace, everything changes. These people were so intrigued by this woman who they couldn't control anymore with their opinions that they followed her to the well to meet Jesus. And they were so intrigued by her freedom and by Jesus, they said, stay with us for a few days. So Jesus stayed in that community, and most of the community was saved because one woman was willing to be known as someone who needed saving. And I don't get how this happens in the church, but so often it does, where we get saved in humility and somehow we get prideful in our performance, and we put barriers up for the broken to find Jesus because they can never keep up with us. And that's why I think Paul said, I boast in my weakness. And that's why I boast in my weakness. I know so well why I needed saving. And, you know, I got this note from somebody who was on one of my retreats. And she says, 5 years ago, when you spoke at this retreat, I was saved. And I gave this message, the woman at the well message. She says, then, so she was saved. Then when I came home from the retreat, my husband got saved. Then my two kids, then my four coworkers, my three neighbors, and my one aunt have all come to know Jesus Christ because of your obedience and faithfulness to God's word and the gospel. Thank you. One person, and look at the ripple effect. And this is the thing, is when I pray for our Faith Radio audiences, we've got, you know, network markets all over the upper Midwest and Connecticut. I keep seeing these houses, just a few with the lights on, and hundreds of thousands with the lights out. And one of the things that gets me out of bed every day is to feed your soul so well, to grab your face as if I'm Jesus himself, to go, you are loved, you are forgiven, you are empowered, you are anointed and appointed, so that you just are so full of who God is and what he has for you, that you go out and do your life wherever that is, and your sphere of influence goes, I've got to know this God that he serves, that she serves. I've got to know this God that they love. I want that so much, and I picture hundreds of thousands of houses where the light turns on. And don't you think now more than ever, we are so divided as a nation, so divided as a church. God, forgive us the way that we're behaving. But if we, what if there's a remnant when we humble ourselves and we say, you know what, I could shake my fist all day long at other people, but God, start with me. Wouldn't me? I know some of the things where I act out are out of wounds. So would you heal me? And I know some of the ways that I act out are out of immaturity or character inconsistencies. So would you deal with me? Because I know you're going to lead me in everlasting life. Luke writes in, he's just a favorite. Appreciate him. He said, so needed this today. Jesus walks into the darkest places of our hearts to shine the light and the driest places to bring living water. That's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful and so good. This one says, please pray for help with forgiveness towards a good friend who's disappeared, or maybe has disappeared, or disappointed me greatly. Father, I pray for that friendship in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I pray for healing and wholeness. And this listener says, I want to say that listening to Faith Radio and to you have brought light, been a light for me, like a lighthouse in the dark, raging sea. Been addicted to drugs for the better part of 35 years. The last 18 have been to everyday use of opioids. God has spoken to me for many years about that, but 2 months ago, I broke my pain management agreement and was taken off. I know it was the Lord taking the reins. I'm grateful he could do what I could not. 2 years ago, my dad died a horrible death, and the enemy's been at work in me since then, like I've never experienced. Oh, I just appreciate your prayers. Father, would you surround this dear soul with your favor as with a shield? I pray you give them a vision, God, for your plan, for the way that you want to use them. Lord, I know the enemy has a plan for their life, and you have a plan, and they're the ones who cast the deciding vote. So I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that they would trust you, they would yield to you, that they would surrender to you, they'd let you heal them and reveal your purposes to them. And I pray you keep them. Lord, you're the one who's able to keep them from falling and present them before your glorious presence without fault and with great joy, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Deborah says, beautiful program. It's providing light desperately needed for this coming season. Amen and amen. We can do this, friends. We can walk. You know, that's something that, you know, if we're going to try to battle on the natural realm, we're going to be impotent. We just are. But when we battle in the spiritual realm, when we abide in the vine and we bear fruit and we tear down thoughts that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God, and we remember who our enemy is That's when mountains are going to move and waters are going to part. It's the praying people that have changed wars and changed the direction of countries. And I'm not saying you don't take a stand and let your voice be heard, but pay attention to the fruit. Like Angie, one of my producers, was saying, I can't remember which guest said it, but she referenced it before the show. We all have fruit in our life. You just got to look at what tree is it coming from. And we want to be people who walk in the power and the anointing of Almighty God. And you know what? That will happen when we abide in him. You abide in him, he says, ask what you will. This dear listener says, God's dealing with my fear that has been an unintentional foundation of my life. He's dealing with my striving to please him, inviting me instead to the unforced rhythms of grace. That is an amazing confession, and that's a beautiful lesson. Once you move out of striving into that rhythm, it's one of the most wonderful things to learn, and I pray that his perfect love would dispel that fear and you would walk in a newness with him. Carissa says, how's he dealing with me? That's a tough one. I hear him asking me over and over if I will surrender to his process in my life and his timeline, if I'll trust that he says that he'll do, he's going to do what he says he'll do, even if I cannot see it yet. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. This one says, first time I heard you is when you filled in for Chris Fabry on Moody Radio about 2 years ago. That whole week you shared your story, interviewed many people with problems similar to mine. I was struggling big time and it gave me hope. I feel guilty that I needed to be on medication, but his story gave me peace. I believe strongly God can heal me. One thing he said was like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that my God is able to deliver me, but even if he doesn't, I will not bow down to fear. Thank you so much for being open and honest with your life. Well, that's exactly right. There's that juxtaposition of audacious, wild, crazy faith and submitting to God to say your will, your way, for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for that. I pray you found some encouragement here today, and I just thank you for being so really amazing as listeners, so thoughtful and purposeful in the way you walk with God. I would say, as we're watching the enemy wreak havoc in our world, you can always count on God, that he's already has a plan. When the enemy makes an attack, you must know God already has a plan in motion, but he works mostly through his humbled, yielded, surrendered saints, and that's where you're going to see the power. I want you to be one of those. So may the Lord Jesus himself transform you from the inside out so that everywhere you put your feet, God's kingdom comes to earth. We'll meet you back here next time. Have a blessed day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.